Well, good morning, everyone. Shall we pray as we begin? So, Father, as we think about this story and we think what it means for us, we ask that you would speak to us and you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you not agree that feet are incredible things? You know, you can do all sorts of things with feet. I've thought of a few examples. So, for example, you can walk because you have feet, you can run because you have feet, you can play football, you can cycle, and if you're old enough, you can even drive a car. But I wonder, maybe we could think of, let's say, two more things, if you want to stick your hand up, that you can do with feet.
Ride a bike.
I already said that one, but we'll, it's all right. One more. Yeah, what's yours? Dance, that's a good one. That's a very good one. Although you wouldn't want to see me dance, let me tell you that. But feet are incredible things. At the same time, I think they look a little bit funny, and feet are, let's be honest, quite smelly. And so what we normally do is we cover up our feet because they are smelly. And if you were to see anybody take off their shoes and their socks in public, people normally respond by the noise, ew. Now the ladies amongst us, they might pretend that their feet smell of roses. Now the feet in this picture are very clean. And of course that's how we like to keep our feet. And so washing our feet is a very normal thing to do. I wash my feet every morning in the shower. I hope you do too. It's part of our daily routine. We think nothing of keeping our feet nice and clean. But you need to understand what it was like in those days. You need to understand what it was like in the time of the Bible. So there were no cars, no buses, not very many alternative modes of transport, except maybe a horse if you were very rich. And so most people, they didn't drive or go on a bus. What they did was they walked everywhere. Tarmac hadn't been invented yet, and the roads were really dusty and really dirty places. And Jesus and his disciples, they would walk everywhere, going from town to village, preaching and healing and chatting and laughing and eating, just having a great time, enjoying life. But they had really, really dirty feet. Not like in the first picture, but something more like this. Now these feet are disgusting. But it wouldn't take long being outside for your feet to look like this, for your feet to get really, really dirty. And so because it's really hot in that part of the world, most people wore sandals or some sort of very light footwear, nothing that you could completely cover up. And so there wasn't any way of avoiding your feet getting dirty. So what can you do about this? Well, when someone came into your home, you wanted them to feel very welcome. And so this is why foot washing was really important. Washing someone's feet is about making them feel that they are welcome in your home, and so they can have clean feet again. And also so you didn't have dirty carpets. And as a guest, you would be given water to wash your feet, or if the household could afford it, they would have a servant who would wash your feet. Now, Jesus and his disciples, they were having this really special meal called the Passover. They are celebrating a time when God rescued his people from slavery in Egypt. He brought them through the Red Sea and into the Promised Land. And Jewish people did this every year. They celebrated this time, and it was a really big deal. And even today, Jewish people still celebrate this time. It's a big celebration. It is worth celebrating. And as Jesus and his disciples were having this really special meal, Jesus did something that no one expected. Jesus got up from the table. He grabbed a towel, a bowl, and some water, and he began to wash his disciples' feet. The disciples are really shocked. They can't believe that Jesus has done this. Why? Why did Jesus do this? Surely it shouldn't have been Jesus' job to wash these dirty feet. Surely, if there was no servant around to wash their feet for them, surely they could do it for themselves. After all, it was not a nice job because they had really, really dirty feet. So why did Jesus do this? Well, you see, washing their feet was Jesus' way of showing them who God was and is. That Jesus had come to serve them. That Jesus had come to bless them. But the disciples, they couldn't get their head around this idea. They couldn't understand this. They couldn't get this meaning. And so Peter, he says, I should be washing your feet. You shouldn't be washing mine. And Jesus replies, if I don't wash your feet, you can't be part of my kingdom. And this is the point, that Jesus must wash us if we are to belong to him. This moment, this foot washing, looks forward to Good Friday, when Jesus takes away everything in the world that needs washing. Everything that is unclean. Our mistakes, our wrong thoughts, our actions that upset people, our hurts, our pains, and those times when we should have done something good, but instead we turned the other way. And we call this sin. But this washing shows us that on Good Friday, Jesus will take away all of our sin once and for all. But this washing also shows us that we need washing again and again. We can wash our feet, but they get dirty again. We need to regularly wash ourselves, wash our personalities, wash our attitudes, whatever we know wrong. And we call this confession. We confess what we do wrong, and we turn away from our sin, and we receive forgiveness from Jesus. But more than that, we try to be like Jesus. We try to live like Jesus. And so this foot washing, this symbolizes all the love that God has for us, his extravagant, his amazing love. That he does not want us to harm each other. He does not want to judge us or condemn us. God is for us and he loves us. But God knows that we make many mistakes. So he has given us a way to wash anything that is unclean. He has given us forgiveness. But Jesus doesn't just say, here's a list of things that you shouldn't do, because if you do these things, it's going to harm yourself. It's going to harm other people. Jesus goes further. He says, follow my example. Live as I have lived. Just as I have loved you, you should love one another. And if you do that, everyone around you will know that you are my disciples. Everyone will know that you are my followers because they see the way that you love. And so love is that great thing that all Christians should be known for. And so this is the great invitation, that we would see how good God is, how big his love is, and that everyone is invited to receive the love that God has for us, no matter who we are, no matter what we have done. He says, come, come. Come and be washed, but also go. Go and follow the example of Jesus and love one another. Be a positive influence wherever we are. So I want to finish by asking you a couple of questions. The first one is this: what does it mean to wash the feet of those people that you spend time with? Think about what is the modern equivalent in your life of washing somebody's feet. In other words, how do we find ways to love people, to bless them in ways that would surprise people? Or perhaps, like the disciples were, to even shock them. Because through you, perhaps other people will discover the amazing love that God has for us. Amen.
Hello, dear. What are you doing?
What do you mean, my dear?
I mean, what are you doing with that tape measure?
Well, I'm measuring, my darling.
I can see that. What are you measuring?
I'm measuring God's love.
Measuring God's love? With a tape measure?
Ouch! Yes.
That's impossible.
Oh, no, no, my little lump of loveliness. It's a 10-metre one. It will be quite long enough.
You can't measure God's love with a tape measure.
And why might that be?
Because the Bible tells us in Psalm 108 that God's love is higher than the heavens. And if God's love is higher than the heavens...
I can't measure it with a tape measure. So, what can I use? Ah! I know. I'll use a measuring jug. Hang on, I've got one down here. There it is. Ah, right, now then. Measuring jug, yes, so...
What's the matter?
Well, one problem. Is what? God metric or imperial? Should I be measuring in pints or litres? I know! I'll use pints, because God is British after all.
You can't measure God's love with a measuring jug.
But it definitely says in the Bible, God pours his love out into us, so why can't I use a measuring jug?
Because the Bible tells us in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
I know that.
My cup runneth over. So if your cup runs over...
This measuring jug isn't going to be big enough. So what can I use?
This will be interesting.
Perhaps I'm going about this the wrong way. Perhaps I should be using a clock. Because it does say in the Bible... that our times are in his hands. I'm sure I've got an old clock down here somewhere. Hang on. Here's one.
Can I give you a hand?
No, I've got an extra two just here. Two hands.
Oh, clock. Ha 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 ha
So if I can use this clock, that'll be fine.
I'm afraid you can't measure God's love with a clock, a stopwatch, a chronometer, or any other piece of clockwork.
Oh, my little tulip bulb, why might that be? No, let me guess.
Because the Bible tells us...
In Psalm 103, that God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. And if God's love is everlasting, then...
The battery's going to run out, isn't it? Hang on, I'll put this clock down here. So, I can't use a tape measure. I can't use a measuring jug. I can't use a clock. What can I use to measure God's love?
Well, I don't think you need anything.
What?
God's love isn't there to be measured. It's there to be enjoyed. It's there to be experienced and to be felt.
I don't understand you, my dear.
Look, it's nearly Easter, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, what's the best thing about Easter?
Easy!
What's the matter now?
Well, I know the proper answer's Jesus, but I do like Easter eggs.
Don't worry about getting Easter eggs. Now, if someone gave you an Easter egg...
Yeah.
What would you do with it?
Easy, I'd eat it.
Precisely. You would eat it and enjoy it. You wouldn't measure it, would you?
Now, my dear, there'd hardly be time.
Well, it's the same with God's love. You don't need to worry how much God loves us, because we know from the Bible that it won't run out. So all we have to do is accept it, enjoy it, and share it.
Share it?
Yes.
Now that's where your analogy with the Easter egg rather breaks down.
You mean you wouldn't share it with...